Thank you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and us in the universe family of God, for listening to my podcast, Personal God Consciousness in Jesus and Living Eternal Truths. I am Brother Dave, your host. Please visit my large website, www.purechristians.org, or ledbyjesus.org, same website. You'll find many valuable and comprehensive religious and spiritual resources there. When you get there, scroll about 25% down the homepage, and then you may read, download, and share my always free 100-page PDF of key highlights of my books on the nature, life, and teachings of our Creator, Son of God, and Son of Man, Jesus Christ. If any here wish to receive by email a free copy of the text on our show, comment, ask questions, or receive more free text, just email me, dave@purechristians.org. Freely we have received truth in God's Spirit. Freely we love to share His truth. We hope and pray that you do too. We thank you, our brothers and sisters in the perfecting family of God, of all mankind here on earth. We thank you all for listening. Thank you for your spiritual support. We thank you for sharing gems of truth with others. We have selected verses and paragraphs on this topic from the Christian Bible and from the unique 2,097-page Fifth Epical Revelation of Truth, which is named the Urantia Book. That revelation was given around AD 1935. It's in modern American English, and it allows our seeking minds and souls much joy and enthusiasm as we read these powerful verses. All reflective truth-seeking humans on this planet will find some value from these readings. It's freely available online. There's no copyright because only humans can hold a copyright, and this revelation was given by superhumans, so it's fully in the public domain. And so it allows us to then share portions of it wisely with others. So now we'll continue. Our show is Worship in Great Detail, Part 3, The Urantia Book, Paper 47, The Seven Mansion Worlds, Section 6, The Fourth Mansion World. First, I add, Jesus Christ, our local universe sovereign creator father of our large local universe named Nebadon, has made therein for us his 570 progressively higher soul reality mansion world heavens. Only in this first brief mortal life we have physical bodies. We will be resurrected upon the first mansion world with a much more real soul form and higher soul mind. The first seven of these heavens are mainly to remove the crude, erring, and sinful animal natures of all humans. When we graduate up to mansion world number 8, we will then be an intellectual, moral, and spiritual nature of the average mortal human on the 3.8 million plus human-inhabited planets in Nebadon. At the end of this long grand universe age, Nebadon will have 10 million planets with living mortal humans. Okay, so now beginning paragraph 3. It is during the period of training on world number 4 that the ascending mortals are really first introduced to the demands and delights of the true social life of Urantia, that soul reality, creatures. And it is indeed a new experience for evolutionary creatures to participate in social activities which are predicated neither on personal aggrandizement nor on self-seeking conquest. A new social order is being introduced, one based on the understanding sympathy of mutual appreciation, the unselfish love of mutual service, and the overmastering motivation of the realization of a common and supreme destiny, the paradise goal of worshipful and divine perfection. Ascenders are all becoming self-conscious of God-knowing, God-revealing, God-seeking, and God-finding. I add that will be glorious. Some humans down here on our confused backward planet are now at that level. Okay, going on to Section 7, the Fifth Mansion World, Paragraph 5. A real birth of cosmic consciousness takes place on Mansonia number 5. You are becoming universe-minded. This is indeed a time of expanding horizons. It is beginning to dawn upon the enlarging minds of the ascending mortals that some stupendous and magnificent, some supernal and divine destiny awaits all who complete the progressive paradise ascension, which has been so laboriously put, so laboriously, but so joyfully and auspiciously begun. At about this point, the average mortal ascender begins to manifest bona fide experiential enthusiasm for the Havona ascent. I explain. Havona is 1 billion ultimate absolute spiritual heavens circling the nuclear hour of paradise. When we complete that, we are then spirit perfected enough to be eternal residents on spaceless and timeless paradise. Now back to the fifth mansion world. Study is becoming voluntary, unselfish service natural, and worship spontaneous. A real Marantia character is building. A real Marantia creature is evolving. Section 9, the seventh mansion world. Paragraph 2. While sojourning on Mansonia number 7, permission is granted to visit transition world number 7, the world of the Universal Father. Here you begin a new and more spiritual worship of the Unseen Father, a habit you will increasingly pursue all the way up through your long and ascending career. You find the Father's temple on this world of transitional culture, but you do not see the Father. I add, down here on Urantia, that's Earth, God's pure spirit essence, God's will, lives continuously within you and all normal human beings. To continue to spirit perfect all normal humans to become more godlike in thoughts, words, and actions. Now we go to paper 48, the Marantia, that's soul life. Section 4, the reversion directors, they are a celestial humorist. Paragraph 16, the need for relaxation and diversion of humor is greatest in those orders of ascended beings who are subjected to sustained stress in their upward struggles. The two extremes of life have little need for humorous diversions. Primitive men have no capacity therefore, and beings of paradise perfection have no need thereof. The hosts of Havona are naturally a joyous and exhilarating assemblage of supremely happy personalities. On paradise, the quality of worship obviates the necessity for reversion activities. But among those who start their careers far below the goal of paradise perfection, that would be us, there is a large place for the ministry of the reversion directors. Paper 52, Planetary Mortal Epochs, Section 1, Primitive Man, Paragraph 1. From the time of man's emergence from the animal level, when he can choose to worship the Creator, to the arrival of the planetary prince, I add that was 500,000 years ago, the first human couple and an infanta were created here 993,504 years ago. Then, to the arrival of the planetary prince, mortal will creatures are called primitive men. There are six basic types of races of primitive men, and these early people successively appear in the order of the first six spectrum colors, beginning with the red. The length of the time consumed in this early life evolution varies greatly on the differing worlds, ranging from 150,000 years to over 1 million years of Urantia time. Ours was roughly about 500,000 years ago, somewhere in there in the middle. Paragraph 7. All mortals who are indwelt by thought adjusters, that's God's spirit indwelling your mind, God's perfect will, are potential worshipers. They have been, quote, lighted by the true light, unquote, and they possess capacity for seeking reciprocal contact with divinity. Nevertheless, the early or biologic religion of primitive man is largely a persistence of animal fear coupled with ignorant awe and tribal superstition. The survival of superstition in the earth, as the Urantia races, is hardly complementary to your evolutionary development nor compatible with your otherwise splendid achievements in material progress. But this early fear religion serves a very valuable purpose in subduing the fiery tempers of these primitive creatures. It is the forerunner of civilization and the soil for the subsequent planting of the seeds of revealed religion by the planetary prince and his ministers. Paragraph 8. Within 100,000 years from the time man acquires erect posture, the planetary prince usually arrives, having been dispatched by the system sovereign upon the report of the life carriers that will is functioning, even though comparatively few individuals have thus developed. Primitive mortals usually welcome the planetary prince and his visible staff. In fact, they often look upon them with awe and reverence, almost with worshipfulness, if they are not restrained. Paper 53, The Lucifer Rebellion, Section 3, The Lucifer Manifesto, Paragraph 3, Item Number 2. The universe government of the Creator's Son, that's our Sovereign Savior Jesus Christ, Michael. Lucifer contended that the local system should be autonomous. He protested against the right of Michael, the Creator's Son, to assume sovereignty of Nebadon in the name of a, say he's an atheist here, in the name of a hypothetical paradise father, and require all personalities to acknowledge allegiance to this unseen father. He asserted that the whole plan of worship was a clever scheme to aggrandize the paradise sons. He was willing to acknowledge Michael as his creator father, but not as his god and rightful ruler. Section 4, Outbreak of the Rebellion, Paragraph 1. The Lucifer Manifesto was issued at the annual conclave of Satania, that's our system of 1,000 human-inhabited planets, when this first age is completed, on the Sea of Glass, in the presence of the assembled host of Gerizim, not Jerusalem our city, but Gerizim, that's a system spiritual headquarters, on the last day of the year, about 200,000 years ago. That's your ancient time. Satan proclaimed that worship could be accorded the universal forces, physical, intellectual, and spiritual, but that allegiance could be acknowledged only to the actual and present ruler, Lucifer, the, quote, friend of men and angels, unquote, and the, quote, God of liberty, actually false liberty. Paper 54, Problems of the Lucifer Rebellion, Section 2, The Theft of Liberty, Paragraph 5. No being in all the universe has the rightful liberty to deprive any other being of true liberty, the right to love and be loved, the privilege of worshiping God and of serving his fellows. Paper 55, The Spheres of Light and Life, that's our destiny on our planet in the future. Section 1, The Morantia Temple, Paragraph 4. The average Morantia Temple seats about 300,000 spectators. These edifices are not used for worship, play, or for receiving broadcast. They are devoted to the special ceremonies of the planet, such as communications with the system sovereign or with the Most Highs, special visualization ceremonies designed to reveal the personality presence of spirit beings, and silent cosmic contemplation. The schools of cosmic philosophy here conduct their graduation exercises, and here also do the mortals of the realm receive planetary recognition for achievements of high social service and for other outstanding attainments. Section 5, The Acme of Material Development, Paragraph 5. Schools are vastly improved and are devoted to the training of mind and the expansion of soul. The art centers are exquisite and the musical organization superb. The temples of worship with their associated schools of philosophy and experiential religion are creations of beauty and grandeur. The open-air arenas of worship assembly are equally sublime in the simplicity of their artistic appointment. Paper 56, Universal Unity, Section 4, Personality Unification, Paragraph 5. Philosophically, cosmically, and with reference to differential levels and locations of manifestation, you may, and perforce, must conceive of the functioning of plural deities, postulate the existence of plural trinities. But in the worshipful experience of the personal contact of every worshiping personality throughout the master universe, God is one. And that unified and personal deity is our paradise parent, God the Father, the bestower, conservator, and father of all personalities from mortal man on the inhabited worlds to the eternal sun on the central isle of light. Section 6, Unification of Evolutionary Deity, Paragraph 3. Material-minded creatures of the evolutionary worlds of the seven super-universes, I add, with 700,000 local universes total, and 10 million human-inhabited planets in each local universe at the end of this first grand universe age, and about 10 billion humans living on each planet, then reading on, can comprehend deity unity only as it is evolving in this power-personality synthesis of the Supreme Being. That's God out here, a phase of the Trinity, who is actually experiences. And the beings of the Trinity are existential and they do not experience. So this is what humans would call process theology. Reading on, On any level of existence, God cannot exceed the conceptual capacity of the beings who live on such a level. Mortal man must, through the recognition of truth, the appreciation of beauty, and the worship of goodness, evolve the recognition of a God of love, and then progress through the ascending deity levels to the comprehension of the supreme. Deity, having been thus grasped as unified in power, can then be personalized in spirit to creature understanding and attainment. I add, God the Supreme can grow and experience here with and as us. God the Universal Father in Paradise is existential, spaceless and timeless, infinite, omnipresent, and eternal. Section 10, Truth, Beauty, and Goodness. Paragraph 1. As the worlds settled in life and light progress from the initial stage to the seventh epoch, they successfully grasp the realization of the reality of God the sevenfold, ranging from the adoration of the Creator's Son, He's our Sovereign Savior Jesus, to the worship of His Paradise Father. Throughout the continuing seventh stage of such a world's history, the ever-progressing mortals grow in the knowledge of God the Supreme, while they vaguely discern the reality of the overshadowing ministry of God the Ultimate. I add, there is also God the Absolute, and all three are a part of God, the Infinite Father, I Am. Paragraph 3. Philosophy you somewhat grasp, and divinity you comprehend and worship, social service and personal spiritual experience. But the pursuit of beauty, cosmology, you all too often limit to the study of man's crude artistic endeavors. Beauty, art, is largely a matter of the unification of contrast. Variety is essential to the concept of beauty. The supreme beauty, the height of finite art, is the drama of the unification of the vastness of the cosmic extremes of creator and creature. Man finding God, and God finding man. The creature becoming perfect, as is the creator, that is the supernal, or heavenly, achievement of the supremely beautiful, the attainment of the apex of cosmic art. Now we go to part 3 in the Urantia book. Part 3 is the history of Urantia, and those are papers 57 through 119. Paper 62, The Dawn Races of Early Man. Section 5, The First Human Beings. Paragraph 4. Many new emotions early appeared in these human twins. They experienced admiration for both objects and other beings and exhibited considerable vanity. But the most remarkable advance in emotional development was the sudden appearance of a new group of really human feelings, the worshipful group, embracing awe, reverence, humility, and even a primitive form of gratitude. Fear, joined with ignorance of natural phenomena, is about to give birth to primitive religion. Section 6, Evolution of the Human Mind, paragraph 5. Imagine our joy one day, the twins, and they are Andon and Fanta, were about 10 years old, when the spirit of worship made its first contact with the mind of the female twin, and shortly thereafter with the male. We knew that something closely akin to human mind was approaching culmination, and when, about a year later, they finally resolved, as a result of meditative thought and purposeful decision, to flee from home and journey north, then did the spirit of wisdom began to function on Urantia in these two now recognized human minds. Section 7, Recognition as an Inhabited World. Paragraph 6. These messages from Salvington, Edentia, and Gerasim, and they are the spiritual headquarters of Nebadon, Salvington, our constellation of 100, Edentia, and our system, Gerasim, of 100 systems in our constellation. So there's 10,000 systems in each local universe. Okay, formally marked the termination of the life carrier's age-long supervision of the planet. For ages, we had been on duty assisted only by the seven ascendant mind spirits and the master physical controllers. And now, will, the power of choosing to worship and to ascend, having appeared in the evolutionary creatures of the planet, we realized that our work was finished and our group prepared to depart. Urantia, being a life modification world, one planet in 10 are that, permission was granted to leave behind two senior life carriers with 12 assistants, and I was chosen as one of this group and have ever been since on your rancher. Paper of 63, The First Human Family, Section 6, Onagar, the First Truth Teacher, Paragraph 1. As the Adonic dispensation extended, the cultural and spiritual status of the clans retrogressed for nearly 10,000 years until the days of Onagar, who assumed the leadership of these tribes, brought peace among them, and for the first time led all of them in the worship of the, quote, breath-giver to men and animals, unquote. Paragraph 2. Andon's philosophy had been most confused. He had barely escaped becoming a fire worshiper because of the great comfort derived from his accidental discovery of fire. Reason, however, directed him from his own discovery to the sun, S-U-N, as his superior and more awe-inspiring source of heat and light. But it was too remote, and so he failed to become a sun worshiper. Paragraph 3. The Andonites early developed a fear of the elements, thunder, lightning, rain, snow, hail, and ice. But hunger was the constantly recurring urge of these early days, and since they largely subsisted on animals, they eventually evolved a form of animal worship. To Andon, the larger food animals were symbols of creative might and sustaining power. From time to time, it became the custom to designate various of these larger animals as objects of worship. During the vogue of a particular animal, crude outlines of it would be drawn on the walls of the caves, and later on, as continued progress was made in the arts, such an animal, God, and God here is with a lower G, not capitalized, was engraved on various ornaments. Paragraph 4. Very early, the Adonic peoples formed the habit of refraining from eating the flesh of the animal of tribal veneration. Presently, in order more suitably to impress the minds of their youths, they evolved a ceremony of reverence which was carried out about the body of one of these venerated animals, and still later on this primitive performance developed into more elaborate sacrificial ceremonies of their descendants, and this is the origin of sacrifices as a part of worship. This idea was elaborated by Moses in the Hebrew ritual and was preserved in principle by the Apostle Paul as the doctrine of atonement for sin by the, quote, shedding of blood, unquote. I now must add, how barbaric and blasphemous. God our Father is eternal and absolutely forever unchanging. God the Paradise Father is always just the same as Jesus Christ is, unconditionally loving, lavishly merciful, fatherly friendly, all understanding and forgiving. The terrible, quote, blood atonement, unquote, doctrine of the Apostle Paul must soon be fully rejected. Paper 64, The Evolutionary Races of Color, Section 1, The Andonic Aborigines, Paragraph 7. The groups going west became less contaminated with the backward stocks of mutual ancestral origin than those going east, who mingled so freely with their retarded animal cousins. These unprogressive individuals drifted southward and presently mated with the inferior tribes. Later on, increasing numbers of their mongrel descendants returned to the north to mate with the rapidly expanding Andonic peoples, and such unfortunate unions unfailingly deteriorated the superior stock. Fewer and fewer of the primitive settlements maintained the worship of the breath-giver. This early dawn civilization was threatened with extinction. Section 4, The Neanderthal Races, Paragraph 12. During these spiritually dark ages, the culture of superstitious mankind reached its lowest levels. The Neanderthalers really had no religion beyond a shameful superstition. They were deathly afraid of clouds, more especially of mist and fogs. A primitive religion of the fear of natural forces gradually developed, while animal worship declined as improvement in tools, with abundance of game enabled these people to live with lessened anxiety about food, the sex rewards of the chase tended greatly to improve hunting skill. This new religion of fear led to attempts to placate the invisible forces behind these natural elements and culminated, later on, in the sacrificing of humans to appease these invisible and unknown physical forces. And this terrible practice of human sacrifice has been perpetuated by the more backward peoples of Urantia, that's of Earth here, right on down to the 20th century. And I add, that was practiced still in Madagascar up until recently. I lived there for 6 years, working at the NASA satellite tracking station during the Gemini and Apollo moon mission. Paragraph 13. These early Neanderthalers could hardly be called sun worshippers, S-U-N. They rather lived in fear of the dark. They had a mortal dread of nightfall. As long as the moon shone a little, they managed to get along. But in the dark of the moon, they grew panicky and began the sacrifice of their best specimens of manhood and womanhood in an effort to induce the moon again to shine. That's terrible. Some of those tribes believed that there was a sky wolf that ate the moon periodically, till they sacrificed humans to bring it back to shine again. Reading on, the sun, they early learned, would regularly return. But the moon, they conjectured, only returned because they sacrificed their fellow tribesmen. As the race advanced, the object and purpose of sacrifice progressively changed, but the offering of human sacrifice as a part of religious ceremonial long persisted. Section 6, the six Sangic races of Urantia, paragraph 7. Because of this great retrogression, the red men seemed doomed when, about 65,000 years ago, Anamanalantan appeared as their leader and spiritual deliverer. He brought temporary peace among the American red men and revived their worship of the, quote, Great Spirit, unquote. Anamanalantan lived to be 96 years of age and maintained his headquarters among the great redwood trees in California. Many of his later descendants have come down to modern times among the Blackfoot Indians. Paragraph 15, this is the Yolo race, the Chinese. They traveled far from the influences of the spiritual headquarters of the world and drifted into great darkness following the Kalagastia apostasy. I add, Kalagastia was the first planetary prince of Urantia who went into rebellion with his seniors, Lucifer and Satan, 200,000 years ago. In AD 30 on, Jesus Christ Michael is our planetary prince, our prince of peace, as well as also being our Nebadon universe creator father and God here in spirit always with us. Reading on, but there occurred one brilliant age among this people when Sing Lantan, about 100,000 years ago, assumed the leadership of these tribes and proclaimed the worship of the, quote, one truth, unquote. Paragraph 23, about 500 years after Kalagastia's downfall, a widespread revival of learning and religion of a primitive sort, but nonetheless real and beneficial, occurred. I add, there never has been and cannot be a, quote, fall of man, unquote. Reading on, Orlandoff became a great teacher among the blue race, that's in Europe, and led many of the tribes back to the worship of the true God under the name of the, quote, supreme chief, unquote. This was the greatest advance of the blue man until those later times when this race was so greatly upstepped by the admixture of the Adamic stock. But there are a lot of wars. The blue men were in Europe, and there were a lot of wars there, so we don't have enough of the blue ancestry in our DNA right now. But it's been upstepped by the dominant genes of our biological uplifters who came down from heaven, Adam and Eve, and those genes are dominant. So that will eventually override all the problems we have here. We should be living normally 300 to 500 years on an average planet, but because of many defaults, not our fault, we only live here about 80 years. And we'll gradually get back to living here, eventually disease-free, for 300 to 500 years before we ascend from physical form up to a higher soul form in the next heaven. Now we'll go to paragraph 26. Isolated in Africa, the indigo peoples, or you could say the blacks, black races, like the red man, received little or none of the race elevation which would have been derived from the infusion of the Adamic stock, that's from Adam and Eve. Alone in Africa, the indigo race made little advancement until the days of Morvanan, when they experienced a great spiritual awakening, while they later almost entirely forgot the, quote, God of gods, unquote, proclaimed by Orvanan, they did not entirely lose the desire to worship the unknown. At least they maintained a form of worship up to a few thousand years ago. I add, this is good news, now in Africa, Christianity is being accepted at a very fast pace. This will be very good for Africans. The people of the East are also rapidly becoming Christians. All humans on our planet will eventually love and follow God the Father in Jesus Christ and in spirit. Amen. We're now in a spiritual springtime, and soon quite soon, I think, we'll be up to a spiritual summertime and possible divine visitations of high sons of God and high angels. Even sometime Jesus Christ, who is always here in spirit, he will also be, even though he's here in spirit, he's invisible unless you're really spirit born. You might be able to see a little bit of his divine presence. But he can then, when he reappears again, his so-called second personal return, he will then downstep himself to be made known and visible to human eyes. And he can do that at any time he wants. But he's been here many, many times since he first incarnated here, back from 7 BC through AD 30. Paper 65, The Overcontrol of Evolution, Introduction, Paragraph 6. The mechanical unteachable levels of organismal environment response are the domains of the physical controllers. The instant mind spirits activate and regulate the adaptive or non-mechanical teachable types of mind. Those responsive mechanisms of organisms capable of learning from experience. And as the spirit adjutants thus manipulate mind potentials, so do the life carriers exercise considerable discretionary control over the environmental aspects of evolutionary processes right up to the time of the appearance of human will, the ability to know God, and the power of choosing to worship Him. Section 7, Evolutionary Mind Levels. I add first, we have seven adjutant mind spirits from our universe creator Mother Spirit, the Holy Spirit, our co-equal partner, our creator Son of God, Jesus Christ Michael. Listed lowest to highest, they are the mind spirits of intuition, understanding, courage, knowledge, counsel, worship, and wisdom. Animals can have only up to the first five. Only humans have the highest two, worship and wisdom. Paragraph 7, the adjutants function exclusively in the evolution of experiencing mind up to the level of the sixth phase, the spirit of worship. At this level, there occurs that inevitable overlapping of ministry, the phenomenon of the higher reaching down to coordinate with the lower in anticipation of subsequent attainment of advanced levels of development. And still additional spirit ministry accompanies the action of the seventh and last adjutant, the spirit of wisdom. Throughout the ministry of the spirit world, the individual never experiences abrupt transitions of spirit cooperation. Always are these changes gradual and reciprocal. Paper 66, The Planetary Prince of Urantia, Section 5, Organization of the 100, Paragraph 13, Item Number 6, The College of Revealed Religion. This body was slow in functioning. Urantia's civilization was literally forged out between the anvil of necessity and the hammers of fear. But this group has made considerable progress in their attempt to substitute creative fear for creature fear, ghost worship, before their labors were interrupted by the later confusion attendant upon the succession of Hebel. That would be the fall of Lucifer and Satan, Calgastia. The head of this council was Hap. Paragraph 14, none of the prince's staff would present revelation to complicate evolution. They presented revelation only as the climax of their exhaustion of the forces of evolution. But Hap did yield to the desire of the inhabitants of the city for the establishment of a form of religious service. His group provided the Delamations with the seven chants of worship and also gave them the daily praise-phrase and eventually taught them, quote, the Father's Prayer, unquote, which was, and here it is in paragraph 15, quote, Father of all, whose Son we honor, look down upon us with favor. Deliver us from the fear of all save you. Make us a pleasure to our divine teachers, and forever put truth on our lips. Deliver us from violence and anger. Give us respect for our elders and that which belongs to our neighbors. Give us this season green pastures and fruitful flocks to gladden our hearts. We pray for the hastening of the coming of the promised uplifter. We would do your will on this world as others do on worlds beyond. Now that's very good, but this was for primitives, and so they had to have a sense of fear, which is the beginning of religion. And so then they say to fear only God. And today, some Christians still say, oh, God is a great God of wrath and vengeance and anger, and you have to fear him. Totally false. God is our loving Father. We should rejoice that he loves us
and knows exactly what we need on all levels of reality. So we should love and trust Him. And God our Father is not too much interested in our physical body because it's made to be short. God wants our lives here to be fairly short. Even if we live 500 years here, that's a short period. We live here for about 80 years on this very difficult life for most people in the first 80 years. But that teaches us wisdom, teaches us to be more moral, patience, kind, wise, fruits of the Spirit, and so on. Eventually more loving and merciful as God and Jesus are. We should always love and trust God and never fear God. There's a discourse by Jesus and other shows will cover that in great depth about the nature of God and Jesus' powerful teachings to never fear Him. Okay, going on to paragraph 21. Before the prince's arrival, bathing had been an exclusively religious ceremonial. It was indeed difficult to persuade primitive men to wash their bodies as a health practice. Lut, L-U-T, finally induced the religious teachers to include cleansing with water as a part of the purification ceremonies to be practiced in connection with the noontime devotions once a week and the worship of the Father of all. I add, that has evolved to the practice in churches of water baptism. That's mainly social. Jesus Christ here in spirit gives us the supernal spirit baptism, spirit birth. Amen. Section 7, Life in Dalmatia, paragraph 2. The interiors of the central temple of worship and the 10 council mansions of the supervising groups of supermen were indeed beautiful works of art. And while the residual buildings were models of neatness and cleanliness and cleanness, everything was very simple and altogether primitive in comparison with later day developments. At this headquarters of culture, no methods were employed which did not naturally belong on your rancho. I add here, evolution should be slow and steady to prevent serious problems and retrogression in society. Paper 69, Primitive Human Institutions. Section 6, Fire in Relation to Civilization. Paragraph 4. Though Andon, the discoverer of fire, avoided treating it as an object to worship, many of his descendants regarded the flame as a fetish or as a spirit. They failed to reap the sanitary benefits of fire because they would not burn refuse. Primitive man feared fire and always sought to keep it in good humor. Hence the sprinkling of incense. That's funny, keep the fire in good humor. Under no circumstances would the ancients spit in a fire, nor would they ever pass between anyone and a burning fire. Even the iron pyrites and flints used in striking fire were held sacred by early mankind. Now, a lot of people today, instead of having true religion, they hold sacred godless scientists or artificial intelligence or creating life, the Frankenstein movies where you create life, you know, that's fantasy. Mankind can never create life or force or energy or artificial intelligence. All that comes from on high. Now, we can try that, but they'll be quite disappointed when they realize it's been a false attempt at progress. So even though artificial intelligence is wrong, there's other progress in computer science and so on, which can be done slowly. So I guess that's good overall. We're in Section 6, and now this is Paragraph 6. The early myth, M-Y-T-H-S, about how fire came down from the gods, little g god, grew out of the observation of fire caused by lightning. These ideas of supernatural origin led directly to fire worship, and fire worship led to the custom of, quote, passing through fire, unquote, a practice carried on up to the times of Moses. And there still persists the idea of passing through fire after death. The fire myth was a great bond in early times and still persists in the symbolism of the Parsees, P-A-R-S-E-E-S, Parsees. Paper 70, The Evolution of Human Government, Section 7, Paragraph 15. Secret societies contributed to the building up of social caste chiefly by the mysterious character of their initiations. Members of these societies first wore masks, M-A-S-K-S, to frighten the curious away from their mourning rites, R-I-T-E-S, ancestor worship. Later, this ritual developed into a pseudo-seance, which ghosts were reputed to have appeared. Ha! The ancient societies of the, quote, new birth, unquote, used signs and employed a special secret language. They also forswore certain foods and drinks. They acted as night police and otherwise functioned in a wide range of social activities. Okay, so that will complete this series. And then in about a week or so, we'll go on to the next portion of our topic here on worship. ¶¶